that baby right up to your mouth.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure that the microphone, or should we? Is this something we start? This could be the off mic podcast.
You know, I don't like your attitude. I already don't like your attitude.
So, Andy, how?
Stop it.
How was your week?
Stop. Press the button. Let's get this started.
All right.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end. Tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.
Well, you know, let's start off with that. Let's start off with that because I have something to say about it.
Okay. I'm not criticizing.
If anyone is still listening to this podcast,
oh,
yeah. They the last episode had a minor glitch.
Yeah.
And I actually want to say something about Larry's behavior with regard to this. The moment after we're done recording the last episode, where if you didn't listen, we were there was a mix-up, and I had the room, the ambient mic catching us, not the individual mics. And we just sound like we're off mic kind of having a conversation.
It's not that
bad. It's not unlistenable. It's just, you know, it's the way it worked out. As Larry put it, it's audio that's available. But
I asked you if it was salvageable, and you said, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
It turned out fine.
So, yeah. I mean, we were great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, it's an award winner.
Goes without saying.
Outside of that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say the one thing I haven't said after it was done, after we recorded it, and I go back, I'm like, why is that waveform so small? And oh no! And I play it back, I'm like, oh son of a bitch! And I was able to do some things to fix it.
Yeah.
But. Larry, now if it were the roles were reversed and Larry had done that, I would have said, "You baboon, you are a nincompoop! Christ, you had to do one thing. What a dolt! God, you know what Larry did? He's like, oh man, I'm so sorry. He was empathizing with me.
Well, this comes from a." I've been podcasting a little bit longer than you.
Sure.
And I'll tell you exactly what came to my head.
I remember. Yeah, go ahead. Tell
the
story.
What were you going to say?
No, I remember the story that you're about to tell.
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Because
you weren't involved.
I know, but you have told this to me
on
the side about an interview that you did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, tell us.
I did. Yeah, no. And when I say who it was, it's a musical artist. And when I say who it was, you're going to go, well, who cares about that? But the fact was, it was the boys from Nelson.
Yeah, Gunner and...
Gunner and the other one. And they had a Christmas album out or something. But I thought, I mean, to me, it was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to talk to Nelson. I mean, they're the sons of
Ricky Nelson.
Ricky Nelson,
absolutely.
And they had some 80s hits on their own. They actually had a number one song, and they had, you know.
Do you remember the name of it?
Love and Affection. I can't live without your love and
affection. No, that's not the Joan Armatrade trading song.
No.
That's totally different.
And they had the long blonde hair, which is their big signature thing, because that was MTV era, so they were all over that. So, I mean, I thought they would have a perspective on the industry. And you know what? It turned out to be a really great conversation.
It's the best interview you've ever done.
That nobody's gotten to hear. Because at the end of it, it literally bumped right up until my air shift. And so I said, guys, that was great. I mean, we talked for an hour plus, and they had a great time, and we laughed a lot. They were very candid about their whole career, about their hair, about all that stuff. They said some of the greatest stuff. It was really fun. And at the end, I was like, I'm so glad I did that and didn't go like, Nelson.
Right.
Went in, did my air shift, had to work on some tracks and stuff that I had to do in here, went back and forth, came to the end of the night. I was tired. It was a little after 10 o'clock. I come in here, close out the program, the digital editor, you know, and it says, do you want to save? And I'm like, nah, I finished all my tracks.
It,
I don't need those. Closed it, started to walk out of the room and went, Oh, do I want to save any of that? Yeah, that hour-long interview I did with Nelson. And I stood here staring at a blank screen going, oh, there's no way to get that back, is there? And there's like no engineer around here that would go, oh, we'll dig into the metadata and probably be able to. Nope, that I just told the computer, nope, don't need that no more. Shut her down. Night, everybody.
It wasn't even named, I'm sure.
Oh, nope.
Oh, that's rich.
So I've been in your circumstances where there has been something that's been completely my doltish fault. And not even in my inner voice was I calling you names. I was disappointed.
See, now you're a better person than I am.
I really am.
I would have been petty and
awful. Absolutely you would have been. So if we learn anything today, in fact, I'm hoping that this is the end of this podcast so that you
can just leave it there.
Repeat what you just said, which is what?
You're a better person.
I'm a better person than you are. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Andy.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to keep going.
That reminds me of the story of when the guys in Cars, they did this. I think I remember talking about this at some point on here. They did a concert in Germany, Music Messe, back in like 1979, in between their first two albums. Mm-hmm. And they finally put it out on DVD like 15 years ago. Included with that, it was an interview with them in, you know, around in the 1990s. It's clear that Benjamin Orr, the bass player, is very sick from pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
But that was kind of, I think, maybe why they did it, to, you know, reminisce.
Kind of his last, yeah.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool. One of the things, though, I remember is Rick Ocasek, who writes fun lyrics but doesn't really give much of a shit about whether they're poetry.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not necessarily going
you
for
get
the,
a Weisenheimer brainstorm, a psilocybin pony. Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about that.
I always think of, I know tonight she comes.
Don't get me wrong. I love
Cars. I love me some Cars.
I think the Cars are an important band.
Yeah.
Not just fun, important. I think
they
came
were groundbreaking
along,
at the time.
They came along at a time and they, with the, you know, their new wave bridged the gap between classic rock and what was to come, and just skipped right over disco, and it was
I'll
great.
Tell you, all their stuff still holds up. It doesn't sound dated.
Nope.
And in fact, it actually sounds very similar to what current bands like in the alternative
Weezer,
world are trying.
The Kooks.
Yeah,
I mean, the Kooks are the Cars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally
yeah, it's good stuff.
But they were talking about when they were on tour, and Rick Ocasek's lyric notebook got stolen. And word of that got out, and the music press is like, oh my, now what are we to do? Rick Ocasek's lyrics are lost forever.
Just think about whoever found it. It was like, oh look, I found a 4-year-old's diary. Oh, isn't that adorable? I know tonight she come. Not making fun. Rick, if you're out
you
there.
You can wang it on the outside. Like you've never done before.
What's your favorite car song?
Oh, that's hard. I'm a big fan of a number of the songs on the second album, like Since I Held You and It's All I Can Do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's All I Can Do is really good.
It's
I'm a big fan of Dangerous Type.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one. It's like a bouncing, distorted, jangly guitar that you can't resist.
Yeah. Makes me want to go back and listen to stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one of the albums that got ignored was Panorama, but the song
Go?
Touch and Go.
So good.
Love that song.
The galloping, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
Yes.
It's so, so good. Yeah, go stop this podcast and go listen to Touch and Go right now by
right.
Cars, and then come back and rejoin us. We'll wait.
How good was that?
That was really
Touch
good,
and
right?
Go.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Bonanza. And Elliot
Wait,
Easton.
Okay, go stop and listen to the Bonanza theme and come right back. See?
Hey, yeah. Welcome back.
All right.
How was Little Joe and Hoss?
Oh, the Ponderosa, man. There's something going on out.
Green, as green as the wind blows.
Oh, you're singing Lauren Green?
Oh, man. What was I talking about? I forgot.
The Cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn it.
Anywho's, I don't care.
Well, if you made it through last episode and you're here on this one, we...
we can't lose you. You apparently...
We're doing everything we can to drive you away.
Apparently you have no taste whatsoever.
Yeah.
Speaking of taste, look at me and guess where I just came from having lunch. Me, someone who's recommitted to my fitness because of my hip and all of that sort of stuff, guess where I had lunch?
So that was the hint that you're rededicated to your fitness?
Yes.
And you just came from, now here's the little twist. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to imply that you're trying to be healthier and eat more organic and light foods? Or did you just come from Five Guys?
It's a little bit of both. It's like halfway between that.
All right. Veggie Grill.
No.
The Counter.
Nope.
All I'm doing is making myself hungry right now. Yeah. Where the hell'd you go?
Carl's Jr. There's a reason
just for
why.
The salad? Did you get the salad?
My wife, Laura, came home the other day.
Who would never eat at Carl's Jr.
And told me that for the first time in 25 years.
What?
She ate at Carl's Jr. I said,
What
did you get?
Yes.
A grilled cheese? What did you have? A taco? And no, Carl's Jr. now has the Beyond Meatless Burger. The Beyond Burger.
The Beyond.
Beyond.
Yeah.
It's Beyond Beyond. It's like an extra $2. So I got a combo, and it ended up being like $15, $16.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'll never do it again. But it actually was very, very tasty. I put that into a Western bacon cheeseburger because I'm not vegetarian. And it was fantastic, and I didn't feel like I ate a bunch of hormones.
You know, I tried the – I think it's different at the counter. They have the Impossible Burger.
Right.
Same concept, I believe.
Well, Umami, I believe they have that.
And, okay, maybe I'm – but it's one of those meat substitutes that's plant-based but not like veggie burger. And I'm never going back. I mean, it satisfied everything I needed about that kind of savory, meat feeling. Don't you love that savory meat feeling?
That savory mouth. That on the billboard.
That savory meat mouth feel. Let's go with that.
Yeah. The counter for that savory meat feeling.
On the other hand, there are plenty of people going the complete other way, like the Hot Cheetos and Cheeseburger.
Right.
Yeah. Or Applebee's, their Cheetos Burger Bomb. There are two different competing Cheetos burgers out there right now.
Does it have nutritional information on there? Can you tell me how many calories?
Oh, man. Do you really want to know?
I bet it's 1,700 calories.
Let's see what comes up.
Anyway.
No, the Mac and Cheetos from Burger King. That's a third one. That it says here 310 calories.
Bullshit.
How is that even possible?
Is the serving size 1/8 of a burger?
I don't get how that could even be remotely possible.
That's
310 calories in a Mac and Cheetos from Burger King?
That has to be bullshit.
I don't believe that. All right.
But pretty dang tasty, I'm going to have to say.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
You could have gotten the same thing at a maybe slightly higher level of, I mean, nothing against Carl's Jr. or anything.
I could, but I was passing Carl's Jr.
Right.
on the way here, coming up the 10.
Well, see, now I want one.
Well, you should go get one. Go get one.
Sounds really good.
Or go across the street to the counter.
All right. All right. Everybody pause while I go get a...
We'll wait.
Beyond.
That
was good.
Yee.
All right. We found our runner in this episode.
We should pause here maybe for the face bag.
Okay.
Because there were a couple of things related to that, and I don't want to be all scattered.
Are you having trouble getting on the internets, or
no,
shall I go?
I think I'm in here.
All right.
This is some face bag from... here we go. This was posted originally by Aaron. It's the one with the making of the Impossible Burger. Andy and Josh mentioned Umami Burger's Impossible Burger mm-hmm. in episode 119. So it's under that. There are a couple of comments. One is Brent, who's on the East Coast in Vermont. He says, talking about two episodes ago when it was Josh and I, the Louisville. Louisville.
Yes, yes.
Did you hear it?
I heard almost all 40 minutes of it, yes, of just that part. That went on forever.
So I'm on a run, he says, listening to this episode, when Josh barely gets through his story. Near the end of the two of you lose it completely. Well, sir, I was laughing out loud, past a few people that thought I was nuts as I was covered from head to toe on a cold winter day here in Burlington, Vermont, but it was worth it. Andy, not since you lost it over Mark's I forgot it and threw it out remark have I laughed so hard. That was some funny shit, boys. Keep up the great work. I want you to know, I don't think, I mean, I even had the microphones right for that. I don't think it caught, the microphones caught how hard I was laughing. My stomach hurt. And I don't know if you can, I know you can't see it, but I don't know if you could hear each and every drag heave he had. Because it was great. Because he would just start telling the story. And then he goes up to the mic.
Yeah. It was, well, we did have some comments from some people who listened to that episode who were having... having their
sympathy
own sympathy heaves.
Oh my god! It was. Here's the thing. Uh-huh. If we ever do a public episode of this,
yeah,
I'm gonna just pull it on him.
Oh, you
dude,
got
you
got
to yeah. tell that story.
Oh, absolutely. And we can do a little, we can do a best
great.
Of live. Here's some face bag from Dave Medina, who has two face bag questions for me. So since I'm actually here, do you mind if I grab those? Dave Medina says, one, what did you think of the new A Star Is Born? And two, is that your voice doing the emergency exits PSA at Cinemark Theaters?
Start with the second question first.
Second question first. The honest answer is, Dave, I don't know. It might be. for years, I was the voice
for Limley, right?
No, it was AMC, Regal, UA, and maybe even Cinemark. I mean, it was because they all became like one big conglomerate at one point.
Right.
And there may still be some residual announcements in there. I'm not currently doing that anymore. They've kind of shut that whole division down.
They owe you some goddamn money.
But I did that for years and years, and most of the time people heard me in the bathroom. That was the joke, is that nobody ever noticed it pre-show.
Right.
But you almost always noticed Larry talking at you about, you know, new music releases while you're trying to take a tinkle.
I always noticed you in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. So the answer is, Dave, it might be. They might still be in there. I don't know.
And we did talk about A Star Is Born.
Yeah, if you could actually listen to the previous episode. But my quick answer to that is, I liked it.
Yeah.
It was better than I expected.
Yeah.
I mean, it had like a lot of hype, and I went in a little trepidation. It turns out, a little trepidation.
Yeah.
I went in a little trepidatious, and it turns out it was all right. So, yeah. That's also, Dave, on the day before that, those two questions, he wrote in giant block letters, puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey baby. So thanks, Dave.
Puppy monkey baby, puppy monkey baby, mm-hmm. puppy monkey baby. Craig Nussbaum says, I was listening to this episode talking about Louisville on my way to work this morning and was fighting bad not to start gagging along with
Josh. There we go. The sympathy gags.
That was hysterical. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Do you have more baggage?
No.
Okay. I mentioned in passing Laura a minute ago.
Yes, imbibing in some Carl's Jr., shockingly.
Beyond Burger. Well, I have some news. I don't believe I've broken this news yet on this podcast. Laura, there's a development.
No.
In her life, Laura is now a public official.
Well, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What?
Notary Public.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you need car title notarized.
Yeah.
She's your girl.
Wow.
For you, $50.
But that's way more expensive. Oh, I see. For me, right. It's way more expensive.
Yeah, $30 for everybody.
Wow. Congratulations, Laura.
Yeah, pretty big doings, huh?
Oh, wow.
She got the stamp and everything. The stamp arrives in the mail, uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
And she gets it and she opens it. I was like, ooh, let me see that. She slaps my hand. No, you can't touch this. Yeah. It's not legal for you to touch it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if she's more worried about the kids or you just walking around wanting to notarize everything. Stamp. Yeah.
I think that's the only reason she did it, is to keep it away from me, something I can't touch.
So now you're kind of technically married to the man.
Right.
Like
big government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how's that
deep
feel?
Deep state.
I know. You got to behave yourself now, man.
I know.
Oh, she could notarize the crap out of
me. I know people in government is what I'm trying to say.
It could also, enhance your, personal time.
Ooh,
it's like,
yeah.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm here to get my house documents in order.
Let me get my seal. I'll need your thumbprint.
Okay.
That
doesn't work at all.
It doesn't really.
Well, you try anything once.
I would like to, moving on to the next order of business, put something to rest.
Oh.
Because I think that for the most part, by and large, today, right now, right here and now, mm-hmm. with you, Larry mm-hmm. Morgan,
yes,
this is the end of my hip talk.
You think so?
Hip chat. As of today, I am technically, by the book, I am technically without restriction.
Now, let me just point out here, you did come in with assistance.
Well, girls are...
No, I'm talking about your wooden cane.
Oh, right, that.
At least that's what that is.
Yeah, Goosey.
Now, have you just affected this look because
here's the thing.
Because you're straight pimping?
No, here's the thing. Okay. Last week, like on Wednesday, I forget my cane.
Yeah.
And if people see me, going, dropping my kids off, and they see me limping in there.
Yeah.
They're like,
check
hey.
Last week's unlistenable episode for that story.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you must feel great. I'm like, no, I forgot it.
Yeah.
And the next day, hey, you must really, nope, forgot it again. Well, on Friday, I made the decision, I'm going to forget this.
Yes.
Made the decision again on Monday that I was going to not take it. And so I go into the radio station and leave 88.5 and walk all the way to my car, which is like a quarter mile away. Walk all the way there. When I get there, I reach in my pocket. Oh, shit. I put my keys on the counter God. So I had to limp. It's another quarter mile. I had to limp all the way back. Then I had to limp all the way back. So I basically limped a mile that day, at least, and I just felt beat up by it. And so I have been carrying it for the last couple of days because I don't need it to get around, but it makes me walk more properly, and I think that's better for me in the long run. Yeah.
So how much longer are you going to rely on it as you did today?
But I don't even rely on it. It's like I can walk. If I walk down the hall mm-hmm. and you couldn't see the cane, it would look like I'm walking almost perfectly normal.
All right.
But it's just that there's that little bit of weight that I can't quite put on it.
Right.
And I think that as muscle develops and redevelops regenerates, I'm going to be normal with it. But I'm putting it to bed is what I'm saying.
All right.
It's not going to be fodder for discussion.
Okay. We move on to the next hip. Are you going to do some sort of ceremony are you going to burn the cane? Are you going to?
No, I'll need this for my other hip. Are you kidding me?
Oh no!
Yeah, it's the other one's gonna have it. It's gonna have to happen.
Okay,
I'm feeling the twitches.
Oh man!
Yeah.
All right. So we're just gonna go through this again.
Oh well, you're right. We can talk about the other hip. My right one is like off limits.
All right. So today we retire the right hip.
Yeah.
All right.
Move on.
Should we
it a rest?
Should we sing Auld Lang Syne or something? I don't know. Is there some way we can give it a send off?
Tower of Power, What Is Hip?
What is hip?
Hip to be square. By Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, Huey.
Do the hippie shake?
I was having a conversation on like my fantasy football leagues text thread, and somebody, you know, was making a dig at me. You know, they try to be personal and hurtful, and so something about
the
music
so
that I play on the radio, whatever. It's like you know, Huey Lewis was what they threw out. I'll have you know, Huey Lewis is not a punchline.
Well, didn't we have the same discussion last week?
We talked about it.
Okay, everybody go back to that episode.
It wasn't last week that we talked about Huey Lewis,
I think it was.
We did?
Yes. Okay, everybody stop and listen to last week's unlistenable episode, and we'll... Yeah, there it was. Yeah, we did.
Well, I'll be dogged.
We went through that whole thing. I mean, I said, you know, I don't, you know, heart of rock and roll, things like that, but we talked about a couple of... I Want a New Drug. You hear that song, and you're like... Didn't we have that conversation?
Did we?
Oh, you know what? That's so funny, Andy. I had that exact conversation with my program director, Chris Evatt, Huey Lewis in the News.
Because I didn't remember having that talk.
Because we were talking about how those songs don't really, you know, we have music research here, and those songs don't really test that well.
Right.
But he was saying, you know, you can joke all you want about Huey Lewis in the News if you want to, but... A couple of songs hit the air, and you're like,
"Oh my god,
those sound great!
They sound great!" And you know what my favorite ones are? You got to go all the way back to, the early ones.
Yeah, well, Working for a Living.
Before that, I'll have to look it up here in a second.
Well, that album to me is that perfect middle ground of still being poppy, but also having some bite to it.
Do you believe in love?
Yeah.
Do you believe it's true?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's good stuff.
And Heart and Soul from that. That was on Sports, right?
Yeah.
They're so good. Well, here's the thing about Huey Lewis. Number one, he got a perfect score on the math portion of the SAT.
Yeah,
he's
like
smart.
A really brilliant guy, right?
He turned down... a scholarship to somewhere, to Columbia or something, to go hitchhike in Europe and play music. And he was in the band, Clover?
Right.
That
in the Bay Area?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were over in London backing up Nick Lowe and Elvis Costello.
Yeah, I mean,
those guys.
Most of My Aim Is True, that first Elvis album, is essentially the Huey Lewis band without Huey and having Elvis. I mean, and Elvis doesn't love that record because they didn't play the style that ultimately the Attractions would play, which is more what he liked. It was a little too smooth and slick for him. But it's basically Huey's band. The News.
I Knew the Bride when she used to rock and roll, the Nick Lowe song.
Yeah.
That's Huey Lewis in the background singing and playing harmonica.
Yep.
Yeah. No joke, that guy. He's a smart cat.
Yeah. And you know, if you saw them live still, they actually put together a nice little show.
I actually did see them live in 1985 or something.
Yeah.
At the height of their power.
Oh, yeah.
They were entertaining.
Yeah.
There's big nothing band. Wrong with Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
I would.
Nobody said they would.
I'd go see a Cars Huey Lewis concert right now.
There you go. Oh, Working for a Living, man. I used to play that at like 5 o'clock on a Friday and be an idiot when I was doing Top 40 radio and just love that.
What's the other? Now I got to look up Huey Lewis discography.
Okay.
Huey P. Newton? No. Huey Lewis discography.
Yeah.
Then you got to go to the singles.
This is great stuff.
Oh, yeah. Singles. Do You Believe in Love? What was the other one? Heart and Soul is absolutely great. Stuck with You.
Yeah.
You can't hate that.
That's a little wimpy.
I love it. Yeah. What is the other one, though, from earlier? And it's not... Anyhow. I'll fight you over Huey Lewis. I swear to
but
God.
You won't have a fight because it's fine. I'm
okay,
into
it. Mr. Bandwagon.
Wow. Really? It was the Picture This album. That's the one that really, Do You Believe in Love? Hope You Love Me Like You Say You Do. And Working for a Living. and giving it all up for love. Those were the like singles from Picture This.
All right.
That's good stuff.
There's another Huey Lewis song that I'm thinking of that I'll have to go figure out.
Was it the 4 album or something?
I don't know.
Hip to Be Square, Jacob's Ladder?
No, I hate that song.
Doing it all for my baby?
No.
Well, Sports was the one with Heart and Soul, I Want a New Drug, Heart of Rock and Roll, If This Is It, Walking on a Thin Line.
What was it? It was one of the earliest.
Well, I can't early. The earliest was 1980, the Huey Lewis and the News album. And I'll give you the track listing. And if it's not on there, well, it doesn't give the track listing. Some of My Lies Are True, Sooner or Later. No, Don't Ever Tell Me That You Love Me.
It's a bad title.
They don't give the track listing. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Don't Make Me Do It. Stop Trying. Now here's You. I Want You. Don't Ever Tell Me That You Love Me. Nobody's listening to this. Trouble in Paradise. Hearts. Who Cares? If You Really Love Me, You'll Let Me.
Maybe it was a single. I'll do my research and I'll come back.
You know what? Maybe it was Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, it might have been. Now you say it. Yeah. No.
We can cut all that out, right?
Yeah.
We can just jump in there right now.
Well, give them what we just said, but recorded from that mic over there.
Here, hold it. Let's see.
Here's what the last week's episode sounded like. How's that? Right.
But you know, there's a point in it, and I said this in the episode in the disclaimer, but there's a point in it where you hear me say, there's something wrong with this VU meter here on the thing. This isn't, and you're like, are you not paying attention? I'm like, yeah, but there's something wrong. Anyway,
we sounded great in our headphones because we were listening directly out of the mixer.
Yeah.
Right.
Shit.
I know. Well, now you know.
Anywho's.
You dolt, you doofus.
Anywho'sies. piggybacking on that that bit of face bag from a little bit ago for you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God, I just dropped my phone on the
ground. Do I need to pick that up for you?
No, I'll get it in a minute.
Can I get you a cup of tea and a shawl?
Why do you have a grease pencil in here?
Would you stay focused? Oh, good Lord.
Tell me why you have grease pencil.
I guess we're cutting tape. I don't know.
Yeah. What is that? Pricing meat?
It must be it's a China marker.
Yeah.
Oh, that's racist. I have no
why,
idea.
Because it's black?
All right. So, we're in dicey territory.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
All right.
Focus
up. Tighten up. Here we go.
I just started watching, after watching the SAG Awards and seeing the different things that were nominated, finally got around, excuse me, I don't know why I'm so stuffed up, finally got around to starting Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's really good, right?
It's really good. It's hard to watch.
There's some tough stuff in there.
At the end of the night when you're trying to relax and get ready for bed?
No, there's some intense stuff. I can honestly say I think it gets better even in the second season. It gets really deep. There's some just... this is one of those things where it's a character who is convinced that he can fix it, and every move he makes just digs him in deeper and deeper. And and Jason Bateman's even talked about how, you know, they've had to really talk about where is this going, because there's only so long that he can kind of just keep treading water and keep,
right,
you know, juggling these balls.
Yeah.
And till something has to, they're starting to formulate, how do we wrap this thing up? And season two, man, the poop just keeps on flying. And it's... Wow. It's solid, man.
Solid poop?
It's nice and solid. It gets wild.
Wow.
Oh, just wait.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
The blonde girl from The Americans is in there.
Yes, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Laura, I mean, when you got Jason Bateman
and Laura Linney
playing a couple, and every bit of casting in there is great.
But the whole thing is so ridiculous,
yeah,
the whole setup. But... it's just this side of unbelievable that you willingly go along with it. You suspend your disbelief.
You have to, because every move is outrageous and stupid.
Yeah.
But But they write it. It's written and pulled off so well that you're willing to go along with that.
Yeah, yeah. And you find yourself laughing out loud at the absurdity of some of the things that happen. It's
real good.
it's really tasty so far. What recommendations? Because there are only two seasons of this, right?
Yeah, so far.
Once we're done with Ozark season 1 and 2. You are the expert in this, the maven of all things film.
Yeah.
What should be next?
Well, one thing that got some nominations, and it's a little off the radar because it's not readily available on, you know, Netflix and some of the streaming services. It is a USA show. But it got some attention last year for the first season. It's The Sinner. And I don't know if you noticed, but somewhere along the line, Jessica Biel won an award for the first season. She was an executive producer, but also was the main character. She played the main character. And season 2 of The Sinner just wrapped up, both on USA. Season 1, I believe, is available now on Netflix. And if you're okay with how heavy and dark Ozark gets, this has a similar tone to it. And what's really interesting, this is their kind of what they say is that it's less of a whodunit but more of a why done it. Because what happens is you see people die episode 1, and there's zero explanation for the actions of this person. Then the first season, it's based on a novel. The first season is Jessica Biel as this housewife who just inexplicably goes nuts on the beach one day, stabs a guy to death in front of a whole bunch of witnesses. And then it's the aftermath of that. The connecting tissue between the two seasons is Bill Pullman, where Bill Pullman is a detective investigating these and is sympathetic to...
Bill Pullman's alive?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton is the one that passed away. I'm pretty sure Bill Pullman's alive, although he's so stoic during these two episodes. They might have just have him propped up Weekend at Bernie's style and have him, you know, somebody moving his mouth. Right. He's really good, though. So, but this is, there's some creepiness and there's some ugliness, and it's really very compelling. Like, I gotta watch. And it's a great one to binge. It's actually good that you binge it as opposed to waiting a week to try and kind of, you know, get yourself wrapped back around it again.
Right.
And the second season, just as good, if not better, The Sinner. Highly recommended. USA show.
They just put out a date for, and thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out a date for the premiere of the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's going to be April 7th or some shit?
Yeah.
Could you give two shits?
I have seen 15 minutes of one episode of that entire series. And I know everything has happened because it's been such an online set. It's one of those things. I even asked Alex, my son, has been a absolute diehard Game of Thrones guy until about 2 seasons ago when he said that he and some of the other people, I mean, it's literally the only appointment television that Alex has in his life. Here's a guy who has grown up with the internet, mm-hmm. who now has the ability to basically get whatever he wants as far as entertainment on demand. Porn. No, I don't know. You know, video games or whatever. He doesn't watch TV the way you and I grew up watching TV.
Right.
It is the
I don't watch TV the way I grew up watching TV.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I've cut the cord with cable. I don't have that anymore. But Game of Thrones is the one show that they still kind of get together, or at least used to get together and watch it when it comes on. And I asked him, "Are you really into this final season?" He's like, "Yeah, I'll watch it." And it's like, oh, the bloom is off the rose, I think, for some of the diehard fans. It's maybe past its prime.
I think that doesn't encourage
me to go try and catch up on it.
I thought there were some interesting things in this last season that
he admits it got a little more compelling.
It was well played.
Yeah.
To start off with, it took me a few seasons before I finally watched any of it.
See, I don't.
And
Laura
was the same way. Laura's like, "I don't want to watch Dungeons and Dragons." And I'm like, I feel you, but I've got so many friends saying this is the shit. You should watch it.
Yeah.
And we finally watched an episode, and she turned to me at the end of it and said, "Let's watch another."
Yeah.
And it was just that good. And I think it was the third episode.
Was she okay with the violence?
Well, it's not her favorite part. No.
And the humping. The boobies?
The humping, yeah. I mean, that's
no problem.
Reason she wanted to watch another.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But the I'll pay for that.
And not the whole digression into the notary thing?
No, no? Okay. I don't think I'll pay for that.
All right.
I'm drumming up business for it, for
all
fuck's
right.
sake. no, where was I?
Game of Thrones, third or fourth episode.
There's something that happens involving some young people that is so troubling.
Yeah,
it's so awful. We'd never seen anything like that in a mainstream drama.
Yeah. Well, they have definitely pushed the envelope. I know that
it was so troubling that it bothered me the next day. And the next day, and throughout the rest of the week, to the point where an overwhelming feeling of dread was, well, I've got to watch the next episode because it can't get worse, right? And it's just been one of those shows where every other show you watch, there are certain principles that are in the show, the marquee actors who you know are going to survive it. Right,
because
their names are on the thing. They're on the movie poster.
Yeah,
that's not the same in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Anybody is fair game. If you get attached to them, get ready for your heart to be broken because they're gonna the shit stick hits everybody.
Well, that's part of the problem with me is that with the internet being inescapable, I know all the ones that die because it was impossible to miss. I know about the Red Wedding. That's not going to be a surprise. I know about Jon Snow. I know about all those guys, and I haven't even seen the episodes. So I if I could appreciate it for being a well-crafted, you know, terrifically acted show, maybe I'd go for it. Here's the problem. This is one genre that just doesn't do anything for me, and that's in – I mean, I will read – the dumbest stuff. I love the comic book movies. I'm a science fiction nerd. I like great drama. I like all, but fantasy, like everything from Tolkien to, you know, you name it. It just, that world building does not appeal to me. Never has. I don't care about the families. I don't care about the infighting. I don't care about the dragons. I don't care.
Did you watch the movie Excalibur when you were a teenager?
Yeah.
And I'll not track. Dos Bethud, Dos Elden Me.
All right. Yeah. So now here's the difference between you and me. The fact that you can recite that verbatim is like, I saw that.
Into the spine of the dragon.
You're quoting Excalibur. God. I just think, I don't know. Of all the things I could play catch up on, like, it took me up until like a year and a half ago to finally sit down and watch The Sopranos. It was just not.
What?
Well, it just wasn't one. Charlotte doesn't love violence, and I usually watch most of my TV with her. And I think we tried to watch the first season, and she was just out. So the fact that we have been living in different places during the week for the last couple of years has allowed me to kind of play catch up on stuff that I know she doesn't care about. So things like Boardwalk Empire and The Sopranos. I powered through The Sopranos.
Peaky Blinders.
Loved it. Peaky Blinders, I kind of want to get to because I've been hearing continually good things about that. But that's Game of Thrones. Just not, I mean, if you guys want to get on the Facebook on the face bag and try and convince me, if you've been hearing my taste and you think that I'm off,
well, no, because you're a spoiler eater. You go off and you read this shit online.
I didn't,
and it's all spoilers.
I don't seek it out. It's impossible to miss at a certain point.
A decade,
especially if part of your job is being on the radio and having to talk about what's going on. It's like you can't avoid it.
So. All this time, you've been going on the radio saying, hey, everybody, how about that Game of Thrones last night?
Nope.
Anybody got?
No, not at all.
That's good shit.
No, I'm not portraying that at all. I just, it's like you look at anything pop culture-wise, and then it's this thing that pops up and says, why be? It's the same with The Walking Dead, which I watched for a long time and started to get disenchanted with it. It was like, I was catching up, but I was still seeing stuff. It was impossible not to see. Fans are mourning for a character, spoilers, and then they put a picture as the icon of the person that's killed because they've got dumb editors at, you know, internet outlets. It was impossible to not see. Plus, Alex would talk about it.
Right.
Because I would tell him, yeah, you can tell me what's going on because I don't care. And the Red Wedding, that was one in particular. It was like there were videos everywhere. Do you remember how viral that went of people recording other people seeing the Red Wedding for the first time? Do you remember
no.
that? Oh, God. There was. You can go and still find them all. And there was a plethora of these videos of people who knew what was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Shooting video of like groups of people because people were watching Game of Thrones in groups and just like surreptitiously having video going. And the moment you start to hear stabby, stabby sounds and you just see people going out of their minds, flipping coffee tables over, hiding their eyes, you know, burying their heads in a sofa. And they're, no! And then the moment that the pregnant woman, spoilers, pregnant woman gets hers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
After Star Wars: The Force Awakens,
yeah,
did you see the meme, the picture somebody driving down the freeway with a station wagon on the back of it? They had a big piece of poster board that wrote on it, blank. I'll just say character name dies in the new Star Wars, just to ruin everybody's day. What an ass!
I actually have. I have a story.
Station wagon?
No, I have a station wagon. I have this vivid memory. I'm working on a script right now, and that's kind of like a coming of age story about a kid in radio. It's a very personal story. I just decided I was going to kind of write down some of my experiences and work it into a script, like Almost Famous but in radio kind of thing. And there is, I'll tip my hand to one of the plot points, kind of. It's a side point. There was this guy, I kid you not, in high school. His name was Bruce Banner.
This is a true story.
Real.
Yeah. And his name You've was, talked about Bruce Banner yeah. before in our name episode.
Yeah,
early
Bruce
days.
Banner, his yeah. actual name.
You would not like him when he's angry.
Oh, no. You wouldn't like him, period. But there was it. Now, this was obviously pre-internet. This was 1980, just before the summer that The Empire Strikes Back comes out. Right. And of course, if you know anything about me, and then you would know who my friends were, we were all Star Wars fans. It was clear the kind of group that we were. We had been at Star
indoor
Wars.
Kids.
Oh, yeah. And we were indoors a lot to see Star Wars as many times as possible when it came out in 1977. So by the time we got around to when Empire came out, we were like hyped, ready, talking about it at lunch. So pre-internet, right? So the only way you would really kind of hear about anything is if there were magazine articles. And by this time, Star Wars fever had hit. But somehow, some early version of the dark web, there was this connection that our geek, like uber geek, evil geek Bruce Banner friend had connections with people. And he claimed to have gotten a bootleg copy, a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of the Empire script, at least one draft of it. And he literally at lunch one day at Permian High School said, you know, turns out, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
No!
And we all sit there and go, fuck you. We just like, whatever. So flash forward, it's June 1980 or 81, whatever it is. We're all in the theater. All the nerds, all of us go together. We're like first in line. We center aisle, right there in the center. Amazing movie, right? So good. It's like we're thrilled. And then it's like, no. I am your father. And we all, like, four heads all turned to the right to Bruce at the end. And he's over there like, told ya. We're like, fuck you again. And we spent the rest of the movie just mad. It's like, no. It's, oh, and two things. One, huge spoiler at a time when spoilers are just not that common. And two, we couldn't enjoy the rest of the movie. So we killed him, and that's why nobody's heard from him since.
I'm sorry.
Dismembered his body, put it off in different dumpsters all across West Texas.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, no. It was very satisfying.
That's amazing. Yeah. So he was doing that on a Radio Shack TRS-80 computer?
I don't know. It wasn't even a computer. It was just like it was going back to like mail order, like get on a mailing list to, you know, and fans trading crap and getting, oh, I've got a copy of this. I mean, who knows? You know, people were, that was back in the day when people were digging through George Lucas's Trash or Industrial Light and Magic by that time. People were literally going up to Marin County and digging through dumpsters to find stuff. And then apparently they found a draft of one of the early scripts.
Wow.
Which, as it turns out, because there is a history, if you read about the script, Lucas wrote the original script, and then Lawrence Kasdan and company worked on it. Lee Brackett worked on it later. And so it changed quite a bit. And Lucas originally wanted the whole father reveal to be in A New Hope, the first movie, and they scooted it off to possibly be in the second one if all went well. So somewhere along the line, he got a copy of that, you know, like literally like a ninth generation Xerox of something. Bruce fucking Banner.
I am astounded at what nerds you
guys are. do you see how indelibly vivid that memory and feeling is for me to this day?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, it still hurts. So, yeah, I don't know why we even talk about
when
that.
When Cagney and Lacey ended, I bet you were.
I cried the day the last Gong Show episode aired.
I'm not sure you're joking.
I am not joking.
Really?
I am not joking.
Wow.
I was so sad to see the Gong Show go off.
How long did Chuck Barris live
really,
after that?
I get really involved in TV shows that I love. I get really, really moved when they do their last episodes.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
What about Friends?
I didn't care.
What about...
I'll tell you the shows that really like St. Elsewhere.
Seinfeld.
Final, didn't care. That was a bad final episode.
6 Feet Under.
Yeah. Felt very moved by that. But I was satisfied with it.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad. Really sad when that went off the air, but I thought that oh.
No, I watched two episodes, and it was a little too violent for Laura at the time because she was bearing child.
Uh-huh.
And it was
before you go to anything else.
I got to go back to that.
Oh, God, go to Breaking Bad.
That's what you're saying. It was good.
Breaking Bad.
It was a good show?
Breaking Bad before anything else.
But did any critics like it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hold on.
What?
I know we can't play all of this, but... Here she comes. Just like an angel. Seems like forever that she's been on my mind. It's Nelson, baby.
Nelson?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Just enough to scoot past the music licensing issues.
You know what that is? I smell it. The final net. Smells... hydrocarbony.
They still got some good hair on them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're still doing pretty well.
Larry, time has come for us to embrace and part.
Do we have to do that first thing?
We just part.
Okay. All right.
Although
I may have to touch you just to help you walk out.
But we do have to play the little thing so we can get out of here.
Okay, hold on. I can't live without your love and affection. Okay, wrong button. I'm sorry. So sorry.
Don't fuck up the sound on this one.
All right, so do I save or not save when I stop here?
Save your changes? Press the button. Thanks, Larry.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Whoa! How do people get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of you?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We almost forgot. Josh and Sam are on assignment. Shit.
What the hell, man?
I don't know. It's all coming at the end. That's what she said.
Oh, that's that burger talking. That's what that was. You're drunk on
a little bit of undigested potato.
I am on the Instagram at TheLarryMorgan. Check it out there. And also, if you want to hear more of my musings along with fellow nerds about Oscar nominations and stuff, my Snark Monkey episode where we talk all things Oscars, predictions, and reactions, check out the Snark Monkey podcast, if you will.
Sweet. I am at Andy Chanley on Instagram. And you got to follow me on Instagram because I've got ridiculously, embarrassingly small number of followers because I just joined the thing 6 months ago.
You need to perk that up a little bit.
Yeah. DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook and, excuse me. How's that burger?
What's happened?
It went beyond. The Beyond Burger.
You remember how hungry I was before?
Yeah, not so much.
Totally
anymore.
Over it now.
Andy _ Chanley on Twitter. Larry, I love you.
Oh, right back at you, man. But that's the burger talk.
This is the burger talk. Press the button.
Again?
Again.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast where your artificial friends.